Charges of corruption, bribery, money laundering, and influence peddling have recently made FIFA the object of criticism and the subject of investigations. Heidi Blake and Jonathan Calvert are the authors of The Ugly Game, subtitled The Corruption of FIFA and the Qatari Plot to Buy the World Cup. Heidi and Jonathan, welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks for having us.
Hello, thanks.
Jonathan, the story of how Qatar won the opportunity to host the 2022 World Cup began with the desire of the country's ruler to acquire that spectacle. But the point man for the effort was Mohammed bin Hammam. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, Mohammed bin Hammam was Qatar's top football official. He was a big football fan who rose up the ranks and became one of the FIFA executive committee members. While he was there, he became quite instrumental in helping the FIFA president, Sepp Blatter, gain power. And he had presidential ambitions himself. He was an extraordinarily wealthy man, and the reason that Qatar won the right to host the 2022 World Cup was all because of Mohammed bin Hammam.
There were so many reasons why that country shouldn't have won that right. Temperatures during the time of the year when the World Cup has traditionally been played, the lack of soccer tradition, the lack of facilities in which to play soccer, FIFA's own report singling out the country as having the highest risk of, quote, operational failure. Why did that bid go forward at all?
Well, that's the big burning question. And I think that this was a decision which just on the face of it was totally inexplicable. And I think that when FIFA took the decision to name Qatar as the host of the 2022 tournament, the whole world kind of looked on in total disbelief. And it was apparent that there was no way that decision could have been taken for good reasons. It was clear that the process had been corrupted in some way. And what we saw in our documents was this campaign by Mohammed bin Hammam to buy up a worldwide groundswell of support for the Qatar World Cup bid.
There's lots of evidence that Qatar won that bid unfairly. And it wasn't just the bribes, it was some of the deals that were made. And one of the deals that we write about is how there was a vote swap deal between countries in Qatar, Thailand, Egypt, and they swapped votes with Spain and the three South American countries. And this was completely against the rules, and it was investigated summarily by FIFA before the competition.
There is an overwhelming avalanche of incontrovertible evidence that the process was corrupted, that Qatar should not have won the rights to host the World Cup, and FIFA has just decided to staunchly ignore it. It has been that terrible, terrible decision that has brought about the crumbling of the edifice around Sepp Blatter and led up to this investigation by the FBI and the Swiss authorities.
One of the stories of the distribution of forbidden gifts involves wristwatches valued at $25,000 each. Jonathan, tell us about that episode and the ongoing drama, because I think it reveals something about how the culture of FIFA works, as well as something about how it sometimes doesn't work.
Yeah, well, FIFA is an organization that's continually telling us that it's reformed and it's reforming. And one of its reforms was to say that its officials should not accept gifts over $250. This was voted in by the FIFA Executive Committee. And when the FIFA Executive Committee attended the World Cup in Brazil in 2014, there in their hotel, in their goodie bag, were watches each costing $25,000. Now, by their own rules, that was way, way over the value of gift that they should have accepted. But what did they do? Almost all of them pocketed them and took them home.
Except the plot broke down because there were a few apparently honest members.
Yeah, that's right. And they took it to Michael Garcia, who was then FIFA's ill-fated investigator, and complained about it. And he did precisely nothing until we found out that these watches had been given out and reported it in the Sunday Times, whereupon he rushed out a statement saying that all the watches had to be returned immediately. But, of course, nobody was going to be punished.
So a lot of FIFA, by my count, something like 22 FIFA lords were really angry at you because they had to give up a really nice watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hated it. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, some of them had given them away to members of their family. I rather suspect some of them had sold the watches. Michel de Heurg, who was the member for Belgium, said it didn't matter to him anyway because he'd been on FIFA so long he didn't have any more room on his arm for watches.
One of them swore blind that he hadn't actually accepted the watch and then phoned us up the next day and said, "Ooh, I found it in my garage."
Yeah. Back in May, several FIFA officials were arrested in Switzerland on corruption charges. Prominent officials Jack Warner and Chuck Blazer, of course, have been kicked out of the organization. Will FIFA change? Can FIFA change the way it does business?
Well, I think it's probably going to be very difficult for it to change as it is at the moment, because I think it's a completely split organization. It's like the United Nations without its Security Council. So therefore, there are 200 nations that make the decisions. What matters to them most is that FIFA distributes all its wealth to them. And they don't want to see reforms, and they're quite happy with the way that Sepp Blatter has been running the organization so far. So with the presidential elections, which are coming up next February, I think it's going to be very, very difficult, because I think a truly reformist candidate probably won't get elected in.
The FBI and the IRS are currently investigating 14 people who've been indicted for wire fraud, racketeering, and money laundering in connection with FIFA's operations. What is the latest in that investigation, and what is likely to turn up as a result of it?
Quite a lot of people are fighting extradition. The American investigation is progressing. They particularly want to get one very colorful figure, a man called Jack Warner, to America, because if anybody knows where the bodies are buried, Jack Warner does. They're also looking at the bidding process for the two World Cups, 2022 and 2018, which took place back in 2010, which is what the ugly game is about. And it'll be very interesting to see what more comes out of that, because they've got lots of very good witnesses.
Is there any chance the 2022 World Cup will simply happen someplace else?
Well, the number one protector of the Qatar 2022 World Cup has always been one Sepp Blatter. He struck a deal with the Qataris to protect the World Cup from any allegation of corruption in exchange for the royal family ordering Mohammed bin Hammam to withdraw his challenge against Sepp Blatter in the 2011 FIFA presidential election. And ever since then, Sepp Blatter has been its staunchest supporter and has waved away burgeoning allegations of corruption and insisted that the World Cup will not be moved. But now that he's stepping down as FIFA president, that will leave the Qatari World Cup in greater jeopardy than it's ever been before.
Heidi Blake and Jonathan Calvert's investigative reports first appeared last year in the Sunday Times. They are the authors of The Ugly Game, The Corruption of FIFA, and The Qatari Plot to Buy the World Cup. They join me from the BBC studios in London. Heidi and Jonathan, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.